ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 4. Sati quits her body, text 10. Jagaha samarsha vipannaya gira. Shivadrisham dhuma patashrama swayam. Svatejasa bhuta ganan samuttitan Nigrihya devi jagato bishrinvata Jagaha samasya vipannaya gira Shivadrisham dhuma patashrama smayam Svatejasa bhuta ganan samuttitan Nigrihya devi jagato bishrinvata Jagaha samarsha vipannaya gira Shivadrisham dhuma patashrama smayam Svatejasa bhuta ganan samuttitan Nigrihya devi jagato bishrinvata Jagaha began to condemn. Sa, she, amarsha vipannaya, indistinct through anger. Gira, with words. Shiva drisham, the enemy of Lord Shiva. Dhuma pata, in sacrifices. Shrama, by troubles. Smayam, very proud. Svatejasa, by her order. Bhutaganan, the ghosts. Samuttitan, ready to injure Daksha. Nigrihya, stopped. Devi, sati. Jagata, in the presence of all. Abhishrinvata, being heard. Translation. The followers of Lord Shiva, the ghosts, were ready to injure or kill Daksha, but Sati stopped them by her order. She was very angry and sorrowful, and in that mood, she began to condemn the process of sacrificial fruit of activities and persons who are very proud of such unnecessary and troublesome sacrifices. She especially condemned her father, speaking against him in the presence of all. Purport. The process of offering sacrifices is especially meant to satisfy Vishnu, who is called Yagesha, because he is the enjoyer of the fruits of all sacrifice. Bhagavad Gita also confirms this fact. The Lord says, Bhuktaram yagyatapasam. He is the actual beneficiary of all sacrifices. Not knowing this fact, less intelligent men offer sacrifices for some material benefit. To derive personal material benefits for sense gratification is the reason persons like Daksha and his followers perform sacrifices. Such sacrifices are condemned here as a labor of love without actual profit. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. One may prosecute the Vedic injunctions of offering sacrifices and other fruitive activities. But if by such activities one does not develop attraction for Vishnu, they are useless labors. One who has developed love for Vishnu must develop love and respect for Vishnu's devotees. Vaishnavanam yatha sambhu. Thus, when Sati saw that her father was performing great sacrifices, but had no respect for the greatest devotee, Lord Shiva, she was very angry. This is fitting. When Vishnu or a Vaishnava is insulted, one should be angry. Lord Chaitanya, who always preached nonviolence, meekness, and humility, also became angry when Nityananda was offended by Jagai and Madhai, and he wanted to kill them. When Vishnu or a Vaishnava is blasphemed or dishonored, one should be very angry. Narottama Das Thakur said, Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane. We have anger, and that anger can be a great quality when directed against a person who is envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotee. One should not be tolerant when a person is offensive towards Vishnu or a Vaishnava. The anger of Sati towards her father was not objectionable, for although he was her father, he was trying to insult the greatest Vaishnava. Thus, Sati's anger against her father was quite applaudable. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. We're in the midst of quite a scene involving the highest dimensions in the material world. You have a great cosmic event, a yajna inaugurated by Daksha, who is Lord Brahma's son. And Daksha's also been coronated as the chief of all the Prajapatis, the progenitors of the universe. Therefore, his position is very extraordinary. Unfortunately, his pride increased along with his position. And that's always a great danger. He thought himself to be so great that he was just going to focus on Vishnu and forget about worshiping Vishnu's devotees. This is a great mistake in our spiritual life. Vishnu and the Vaishnava, they're always together. Daksha, because of his pride, forgot that. He became consumed by arrogance due to his material position, and he offended Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, as you remember, did not stand up to offer respect to Daksha when Daksha entered the arena. And so Daksha thought, what is this? Shiva is married to my daughter, therefore he's in the inferior position. How can he fail to offer respect to me? And then he cursed Lord Shiva. So for a long time, there was tension. This shows you how inappropriate dealings between even great personalities can really these dealings can really set in for a long time and cause long-lasting effects. Tension, the Bhagavatam describes in that way. The tension was long-standing. In other words, it's not immediately that things erupted, as you're going to hear. The havoc was not coming immediately, but after a long period of time of festering, this is actual suffering. When anger and pride and envy cause your heart to fester with these infections. Where does this contaminated state come about from? It comes from contact with material nature. Karanam guna sangasya sadasat yoni janmasu. If you want to point the finger at what's the problem, point to guna sangha, association with the modes of material nature. As we are hearing in the reading this morning after Mangalarti, the living entity in material existence is in an awkward position. The awkwardness comes simply by association with material nature. So if you want to stop your problems, you must stop your guna sangha, your association with the modes of nature. Otherwise, economic solutions, political solutions, psychological solutions, this solution, that solution, no effect in any real lasting way unless you get to the root cause of the problem, guna sangha. This is Krishna's message in Bhagavad Gita. It's like, how can you become healthy when you're living in a contaminated atmosphere? If you want to become healthy, get yourself away from association with an atmosphere that has germs. So this is our whole Krishna conscious program. How to rectify the fault of material existence by stopping the association with the modes of material nature. As long as there is guna sangha, association with the modes of material nature, there's going to be problems. Now, in our deluded state of consciousness, we think, I'm going to be comfortable and relatively happy and peaceful in this world. It is not possible simply because of that guna sangha, that association with the modes of material nature. The modes of nature are so deadly that even on the higher levels of this universe, on the level of Daksha, the demigods, and the sub-demigods, there are problems. There is friction. There's pride. There's arrogance. And then there's going to be great havoc resulting. We should take this information in this chapter to understand that wherever I go in this universe, as long as I'm associating with the modes of material nature, there are going to be problems. Every devotee should have a program, a personal program, how to reduce the association with the modes of material nature. That is the beautiful career plan. You don't simply negate, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, although there's a place for that. You increase your association with devotional service, and then automatically your association with the modes of nature decreases. A devotee who's lively and wants to move ahead in developing love for Krishna always seeks ways how to increase the association with bhakti. And in that way, automatically, your association with the modes of nature goes down. Daksha became proud. He thought, Shiva's not needed. Brahma, my father, is not needed. It's just me and Vishnu. And actually, Daksha is worshipping Vishnu for material benefit, elevation to the heavenly planets, better material situation. Of course, he's already heavenly, but he wants to maintain his material sense gratification. Now, his neglect of treating the devotees properly and his neglect of worshipping Krishna for devotional motives is causing all these problems. And he's going to lose his pet daughter, his Priya, because of this. Yet he's going to be so hard-hearted, he's going to be so arrogant, that he's going to watch his daughter commit suicide right before his eyes, and he's not going to say anything. This is what pride can do. We shouldn't underestimate the effects of pride. That's why great devotees always pray to the Lord to protect themselves from pride. One thing I've noticed in reading Prabhupada's books is that again and again he talks about pride and envy in relation to devotional service. While presenting you with the highest nectar of the spiritual world, he constantly makes reference to how pride and envy in relation to devotees can ruin your spiritual life. This is Srila Prabhupada's mercy upon us all to keep reminding us of what can ruin even the greatest devotees. This is Prabhupada's genius, that while he's giving us the nectar of the spiritual world, he also has these warnings in place. I've noticed that sometimes devotees who they want to read other books, they want to hear about esoteric things in relation to Krishna's pastimes. Often because they don't have the built-in warning system that Prabhupada has put into his books, there can be problems. The tendency in our conditioned state is to think, oh, I'm reading about the most intimate glories of the Lord, Radha Krishna Leela. That's me. That's where I'm at. Yes. I'm reading about the highest platform. I'm also on the highest platform. It all makes sense, you see? I'm reading it? Yeah. It must be. That's where I'm at. Yeah. 1 + 1 = 2. Very simple. But when you read Prabhupada's books, you can be absorbed in Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic transformations. Mahaprabhu demonstrating the sweetest nectar of Madhurya Leela, and then right there in the purport, Prabhupada will start pointing out, don't become proud, don't think in this way, don't mistreat devotees. This is Prabhupada's wonderful mercy upon us. The built-in warning systems to actually guarantee that we'll really get to the highest levels of Krishna consciousness in a non-imaginary way. The fact is, until we learn how to deal with devotees, our devotion to Vishnu is certainly not complete. And this history of sati and daksha reveals that. Pride is something we all have to consider. It's amazing, because with your intelligence you can think, in Kali Yuga, who has anything to be proud about? But don't forget, guna sangha, association with the modes of material nature. Because of that, anyone can become proud about the slightest little good attribute that they have. The fault is with association with material nature. Often we forget about this. Karnam guna sangha sadasad yoni janmasu. Associate with material nature and you go about your way of life in that way and you pick up these contaminations, just because of being in material nature. Therefore, pride develops over the silliest things. Why couldn't Daksha just let Shiva be? Shiva is absorbed in meditation. He's in touch with the Supersoul. He's offering his obeisances to the Supersoul all the time. So he didn't have to offer his obeisances to Daksha. But Daksha took such a great offense. He's married to my daughter. He's an inferior. And this whole, actually a war develops because of this. A war at the sacrificial arena, at the yajna site. Now, there are many emotional strands to deal with in this history. You have Sati. She has her emotional nature. You also have Lord Shiva. He has his nature. And then there's Daksha. So it's all going on. It's a very intricate kind of event. Sati wanted to go to her father's place for the yajna. She hadn't been there for a long time because of this long-standing dispute between her father and her husband. It's difficult for a lady because in real human culture, a lady has a loving relationship with her father and a loving relationship with the husband. But here, there's a big disturbance between the father and the husband. So Sati has not seen her father for a long time. She hasn't seen her other relatives, her sisters, her mother, her mother's sisters, like that. So now there's going to be a huge cosmic event, a great sacrifice. Sati can see from her abode what's going on. She sees the whole sky filled with the airplanes of the demigods and sub-demigods. She can hear them talking as they're passing overhead. They're talking about how great the yajna is going to be, how it's going to be such a wondrous occasion. So Sati's hearing all this, but she can't go. She can't go to the party. She has to stay at home because her father and her husband are at loggerheads. But still, she's hearing all this. She's seeing the sky full of airplanes. She's hearing the talk of the demigods going to the yajna. It's really shaking her. So she makes a request to her husband. She does it in a very diplomatic way. Wouldn't you like to go to the yajna? She really means to say, I want to go, but first she starts off very diplomatically. Wouldn't you like to go, my lord? She's affected by her desire to dress nicely, put on fine jewelry and cosmetics, and go talk with her sisters and her mother's sisters like that. A family affair. She's captivated by the extravaganza of the situation and the opportunity that the social situation offers for talking, exchanges with the relatives. She even says, oh, I want to see the yajna flags flapping. So, in other words, the whole pomp of this yajna is very important for her. So she asks Lord Shiva, please let me go. Lord Shiva smiles because he's equal in all circumstances. And he tells her, it's not a good idea. Try to understand the psychology of what's going to happen. You are Priya, the pet of your father. When you see that your father is going to neglect you, it's going to be too much for your heart. It'll probably kill you. I'm warning you, better you don't go. That was Lord Shiva's instruction. This caused a great problem for his wife. What to do? Neglect the warning of her husband or stay at home? So she started walking back and forth in the room, swinging to and fro because her mind was indecisive. This shows you how powerful the mind is. It causes physical reactions. Not only can the mind cause you to walk back and forth as you deliberate this side, that side, the mind is so powerful it can also cause you to change bodies. The whole process of the transmigration of the soul is caused by the power of the mind to take you to another body. You shouldn't go to another body. You should be in your original spiritual glory. But because of the power of the material mind, you're forced to go from one body to another. Just as the mind of Sati is dragging her this side of the room, that side of the room, as she contemplates to go, to not go. She starts crying because that's a good technique to convince the husband. And then finally she ends with her staring at Shiva with fiery eyes. It's a hot stare, blasting him with her eyes. Why don't you let me go? Now, keep that in mind, because she does go. She leaves very quickly, because she doesn't want her husband to check her. So quickly, when she decides to go, she goes. And then Lord Shiva's hosts of ghosts and goblins, they accompany her because they know our master wants that Sati not go alone. We understand the desires of our master, so they all accompanied her. They put her on a bull. They gave her her pet bird, a lotus flower, a mirror, everything to keep her happy. And then they all went in a grand procession to the yajna site. Now remember, she had stared at Lord Shiva with blasting eyes. First there was the tears. That didn't work. Then it was just the hot stare. And then she left. Now, Yesterday, or the day before yesterday, you heard that when Daksha, indeed, as Shiva predicted, ignored his pet daughter, this upset her so much. She became greatly angry, so much so that she looked at her father as if she's going to burn him with her eyes. So, it's like, what can you do? First Lord Shiva gets it, because he told her not to go. She'll be dishonored. So she blasts him with her eyes. Then she goes to the yajna, and indeed, as Shiva predicted, her father neglects her. So then she looks at her father with hot eyes. It's like, you can just see how life can get very complicated sometimes. Due to attachments, you get so bewildered, you don't know which way to point your anger, which way to point your affection. Everything just becomes bewildering. And so Sati got caught in this intense situation. Attachment for the husband, attachment for the father, attachment for the relatives. She even had told Lord Shiva before she left, look, I'm attached to my place of birth. I want to see my place of birth, replete with all the relatives. So all these attachments were there, even on the highest level of existence in the material cosmos. And now there are going to be problems. Because, just as Shiva predicted, she couldn't handle the fact that her father was, he's not paying her any attention. Now, remember, when she arrived at the sacrificial arena, her mother and her sisters all embraced her with tears in their eyes, even though the word was out. Daksha had put the word out. She's to be neglected. She's not in favor. Don't pay her any attention. So all the men, they took up Daksha's order. The great brahmanas, the great sages, the great kshatriyas, they didn't even look at Sati. But the women, as Prabhupada points out, being so soft-hearted, they ignored the ban. They just embraced Sati. They were crying. But Sati was not pacified by that. She's simply thinking, my father is ignoring me. Never mind what my sisters and my mother are doing. My father is not paying me any attention. Now remember, she was telling Shiva before she left, never mind that my father and you have a problem. That's not important. I want to see my mother and sisters. Then she gets there, and her mother and sisters are embracing her, crying like that. She doesn't care. My father's not paying me any attention. So, this is what you see. This is going up, down, all around. And it's teaching some lessons, which we won't speak more about. So, first she blasted Shiva with her hot eyes. Now she's blasting her father with her hot eyes. And the result of the situation is going to be a huge war taking place at the sacrificial arena. All this is going on because of pride. Now you would say, why didn't Sati follow her husband's instruction? Her husband is Shiva, not an ordinary living entity. But she was just overwhelmed by so many attachments. It was just not possible for her to do that. So you have the pride of Daksha, and then you have the inability of Sati to control her attachments. The end result is going to be Sati is going to commit suicide right in front of her father. And her father's not going to bat an eye. This is how ferocious association with material nature can be. It produces such situations. Now, naturally a devotee would wonder, what's going to protect me from such pride? That could be me in this situation. Yes, we should think like that. You can think of a pastime of Lord Chaitanya's when he was touring South India. He went to Kurmastan, the place, the holy place of Lord Kurma, and he met there a brahmana named Vasudev. How did that happen? This brahmana named Vasudev, he was a leper. He had worms living in holes throughout his body. Yet he was so detached from the bodily conception of life that when a worm would fall out of the hole in his flesh, he would pick the worm up and put it right back in the hole. This is really transcendental. These things are done by the greatest devotees to show we are not the body. That material nature is one thing, the spiritual nature is another thing. It's nothing that we're to imitate, but these lessons are there from time to time just to make us callous towards material existence. So Vasudeva was that powerful as a devotee in terms of his spiritual understanding. A leper, that means the flesh of his body's been eaten away by the disease, and worms are living throughout his body. Yet he's so liberal, he's so kind-hearted, so magnanimous, that when a worm falls out onto the ground, he picks the worm up and puts it right back in the hole in the flesh. This is Vasudeva. He went to see Lord Chaitanya. He heard that Mahaprabhu is touring South India. So he got to the house of Kurma, the Brahmana. But Lord Chaitanya had just left. So Vasudeva collapsed to the ground, unconscious. This is a real devotee. I came to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He's just left. I just missed him. You can just think about that. If you had an opportunity to take darshan of the Supreme Lord, and you get to the place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, and he's just left. If your love is properly developed, yes, you'll collapse on the ground in an unconscious way. How useless my life is. Of course, we have the daily darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead here. We should pray to the deities, please let me develop an attachment for you that if I miss Mangal Arati, I'll fall on the ground unconscious. How could I have done this? But what is our problem? Well, the deities will always be there. What's the big deal? Real love means you can't tolerate separation from the beloved. That's why Lord Chaitanya said, you may think I'm a great devotee. You might look at tears in my eyes and think that I'm deeply absorbed in Krishna praying. But let me tell you, it's just a show. Because if I actually loved Krishna, I would have died long ago from separation. That is the standard of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Vasudeva demonstrates that kind of standard. Mahaprabhu is gone. Immediately he collapses to the ground unconscious. Then Lord Chaitanya, noting with his omniscience that this Vasudeva Brahmana was in such a state of separation, Lord Chaitanya came back and he embraced Vasudeva. And as soon as he embraced Vasudeva, all the leprosy in Vasudeva's body went away and his body became very beautiful. But more than just transforming the sick body of Vasudeva, Lord Chaitanya also increased his devotion by just embracing him. This is sometimes overlooked when we think of this pastime. We just think of Lord Chaitanya curing the leper. It's like in the Bible, Christians, they like to think of Jesus curing the sick. But Lord Chaitanya did not simply cure the body. He gave the Brahmana Vasudeva bhakti tushta, satisfaction in devotional service. This is a great prize. Bhakti tushta, to be spiritually satisfied just by serving Krishna. That is what Lord Chaitanya imparted to this Brahmana. And we should also want such a gift. To not seek our satisfaction in material nature. Just like the chakora bird will not take water from the ground. The chakora bird only drinks water that falls from the rain cloud. Similarly, the Shastra says a devotee only takes mercy from Krishna. A devotee doesn't take anything from material nature in terms of your psychological nourishment and your life's fulfillment. You don't expect that from material nature. Just like the chakora bird refuses to take water from the earth. No groundwater. Simply when the water falls from the rain cloud, the chakora bird drinks it. So that is what we want to be. We want that bhakti tushta, to be satisfied in devotional service, that's all. This is the real gift that Lord Chaitanya imparted to Vasudeva, not simply transforming his body. So, Vasudeva obviously was so appreciative of Lord Chaitanya's personal dealings with him. He pointed out, look at what's happened. I'm just a poor, sinful friend of a brahmana. And Krishna, he's Sri Niketana. He's the reservoir of all opulence. Vasudeva quoted the verse that Sudama Vipra chanted in exultation when he saw how Krishna had treated him. Who am I? Look at me. And look at Krishna. Just see the difference. Yet Krishna has embraced me with his own arms. So Vasudeva chanted that verse. And then he had a concern, which we all should take note of. Vasudeva is thinking, I'm going to become proud because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally cured me and infused me with his devotional mercy, the bhakti tushta, devotional satisfaction. I'm going to become proud. What to do? I don't want to become proud. He knew the situation. The word will get out that Mahaprabhu has personally cured me. Even if the word doesn't get out, still I'll feel distinctive in my own heart because of that. How to guard against such a tendency. This is intelligence in devotional service. Vasudeva knew this situation has its upside, but it also could bring a downside unless I'm careful. So he asked Mahaprabhu, how do I avoid becoming proud because of what you've done for me? And what did Lord Chaitanya say? Chant the Hare Krishna mantra incessantly and you'll be protected from pride. Now, how is it that chanting the Hare Krishna mantra incessantly will protect you from pride? Try it. You'll find out. The more you chant, the more you think, oh, I just can't get enough of the taste of the holy name. The more you chant Hare Krishna, the more you realize there's so much more to the holy name which I'm not tasting at all. The closer you get to the holy name, the more you see it's an unlimited depth in that ocean of Namamrita. So this is why you'll remain humble if you always chant Hare Krishna, because the name is unlimited. And you'll realize that more and more. It's not that you'll think, okay, now I've gotten Krishna. Now I've gotten the holy name. My business is finished. No. If you indeed keep chanting, you'll eventually come to the liberated stage of chanting, just like Rupa Goswami talks about. I don't know how much nectar is contained in these two syllables, Krishna. When I chant with my tongue, I need millions and millions of tongues. One tongue is not enough. And when I hear the holy name, I need millions and millions of ears. Two ears are not enough. And when the holy name enters into the courtyard of my heart, then such wonderful ecstasy is produced. I'm just not able to relish anywhere near the full extent of the holy name. I need thousands, millions of tongues, thousands, millions of ears. This is chanting on a liberated platform. Not that, okay, I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I've seen all there is to be seen about the holy name. No. The more you chant, the more you realize, I'm so far from the standard. Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita points out that this is the paradoxical nature of love of Krishna. The more Krishna conscious you become, the less Krishna conscious you think you are. It's completely different from the material platform. The material platform means if you acquire some distinction, some knowledge, then you feel, I've done it, I've got it. But in Krishna consciousness, the more you advance, the less advanced you think you are. Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami is sincere when he says, I'm lower than a worm in stool. I'm more sinful than Jagai and Madai. He's not just speaking poetry. He's feeling that, because that is the result of bhakti. The more you have, the less you think you have. And in this way, you just eternally swim in the bhakti rasamrita sindhu, the ocean of loving exchanges with Krishna. There's no shore in sight. As soon as you swim in that ocean, you can't see the end of it. So therefore, naturally, you'll think, I'm so insignificant. My devotional efforts are so tiny. Just like Srila Prabhupada, when he was arriving in the USA, he wrote that beautiful prayer. How will these people ever become Krishna conscious? It's really impossible. Passionate ignorance is everywhere. And I'm so insignificant. But I know that Krishna can make it all possible. So he's not just saying, I'm the insignificant beggar, Bhaktivedanta. You can fulfill the real import, my lord, of the title Bhaktivedanta. He's not just saying that to write poetry. He's actually feeling in that way. Therefore, once Srila Prabhupada said that there's, charitably, there's only one difference between his disciples and him. That only difference, he said, was he's always praying to Krishna, please don't let me fall into Maya. Now you might say, well, what's he doing praying like that? Why does he have to pray like that? If he's truly such a dear devotee of the Lord, why does he have to pray like that? But we need to understand that this is part of being in love with Krishna, that you think, I don't have any love. I'm so tiny, I could be overwhelmed by the material energy at any moment. That's the natural consequence of love. It's totally opposite from what you would think materially. So Vasudev asked Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya replied in that way. Chant Hare Krishna incessantly, you won't become proud. And then Lord Chaitanya told him, you can do something more. You should distribute Krishna consciousness to everyone, and that way increase the number of devotees. These two instructions go together. Chant Hare Krishna incessantly, and teach Krishna consciousness to others. In other words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling him, remember your personal transformation. Remember what I've done for you. And with that kind of remembrance, go give Krishna to others. Well, this is our parampara. This is what we're trying to do. We look at our situation. We've all come from such abominable circumstances. That's the way Kali Yuga is. There's no position of great value for anyone. Yet, we've been picked up and we've been given the chance to serve Krishna. We should always remember that. Based on that remembrance, we distribute Krishna consciousness to others. That is following Lord Chaitanya's instruction. In this way, we're protected from guna sangha, association with the modes of material nature. By chanting Hare Krishna incessantly, by distributing Krishna consciousness to others, we're protected. In this most deadly situation, we'll be safe, and we can make progress back to Godhead. Daksha is going to be in a position of great lamentation. There's going to be great havoc caused. He's going to learn a lesson. It's interesting how in this section of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada puts a lot of time into the purports. When you read the fourth canto, you'll see that he really has many long purports, very deep, thoughtful purports. It's not that he's like writing, let's hurry up and get to the tenth canto so I can give the devotees the nectar. No, he really, this fourth canto amazes me. Such long purports throughout it. Very detailed. Even in this apparently emotional situation between Shiva and Sati and Daksha, such long purports. This is Prabhupada's mercy upon us all. We should take his thoughts very seriously. You should think, why is he spending so much time on this section of the Bhagavatam? Why isn't he just breezing through it and getting us straight to the Madhurya Leela? No, he knows the hearts of the devotees. He knows how to focus them so that we can go back, how to focus the devotees so the devotees can go back to Godhead. In order to go back to Godhead, we have to deal with pride. This thing that has destroyed Daksha, we don't want it to destroy us. It takes a constant effort. But if you become attached to Krishna, you'll be happy to make that effort. It's all part of loving devotional service, how to safeguard my devotional creeper. But let us remember Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Vasudeva. In this way, Lord Chaitanya has the title given by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Vasudevamrita Prada, the one who gave nectar to the leper Vasudeva. And remember that nectar was not just a bodily cure, it was the bhakti tushta, the gift of satisfaction in devotional service. Well, any questions? Yes.
Mr. Mohan, you said that the more advanced you become in Krishna consciousness, the more you feel it is falling. But at the same time, we hear that when you become Krishna conscious, you don't need a certificate from anybody. You know yourself, you're the Krishna consciousness of the week. So how do you understand both things?
You'll know that even though I'm more Krishna conscious than before, still, it's so far to really be a true devotee of Krishna. I'm better than I was before, but there's so much more distance to cover. You'll feel those things simultaneously. You'll feel satisfied, but then at the same time, you'll know there's so much more Krishna to be had. But this is not material dissatisfaction. This is spiritual dissatisfaction, which means you're satisfied, but then again, you want more. Doesn't make sense on the material platform. Anything else? All glories to Prabhupada. Thank you very much.